I'm Larry Lee with Brownfield Ag News Network. John Rose now joins us, as well as Mercedes Falk. Dairy Farm in Buffalo County is where we're at right now. John, you have a lot of workers here. I understand many of them come from Mexico.
Yes, we have 18 employees and 13 of them are from Mexico.
They've been here for quite a long time, haven't they?
We've been employing immigrants since 1997. First guy that came was Manuel Perez, and he worked here for 54 days straight, and he did a wonderful job. He worked just as hard as I did, which I didn't think was around anymore, and I was hooked. And from then on, I looked for employees that spoke Spanish, and it's treated us very well.
Has the language barrier been an issue, or did you have to learn fast?
Yeah, I had to learn. I took a dictionary one time, a Spanish dictionary, and I thought, well, I need to learn this language. I'd be able to get along better. So I thought I'd spend one afternoon and learn the language. That didn't work. And so I've now had over 80 hours in Mexico. I've had countless hours in the United States and a lot of practice every day, and I'm still lousy. But we provide an English class for our employees every Monday night. Mercedes teaches that, and we have it here. Anybody that wants to can, and that seems to be a better option, although I do speak some Spanish. But I need an interpreter, somebody that can speak very well to deal with the details, and Mercedes does that.
I've been told by several farmers that the workers that come up from Mexico are exemplary performers on the job.
Yes, you hear this thing that Mexico is sending us, they're worse, they're horrible people. I've been in the villages, I've been in the places they come from. These are the leaders in their communities. These are the top of the line people. I've had Severo here now for over 25 years, and he's probably never missed in 25 years when he was going to be working. Amazing people, just amazing. And you trust them to do everything, and they do everything. From IVing cows to delivering calves to treating down cows to feeding cows to driving tractor to everything. They are very, very, very important people and very capable.
Mercedes, you not only teach the bilingual classes, but you're also working on a project that'll be on display for the public soon. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. So we don't have official title yet, but basically we're telling the stories of women that are back in Mexico running the households while their husbands and sons are up here working. And so it's going to be this interactive exhibit where we get to hear their stories, walk into their life, see what it's like to be able to raise children, and to have a partnership across the distance. I think a lot of us think about, oh my gosh, it would be so challenging to be that far away from my family for that long, and it is, but it also works in a way because the folks that are up here working want to be able to provide a better life for their families, and so the sacrifice at the end of the day makes it more than worth it, and we want people to be able to know those stories and know what everyone is doing to create better lives on both sides of the border.
I've heard that the workers coming up from Mexico can be compared somewhat to long-haul truckers, except they stay longer.
Yes, like John said, he has a worker that's been here for 25 years and other employees 5-10 years. They just really love having the steady work that is here on dairy farms. And besides that, it really matches up a lot with what they do back home. They have an agrarian lifestyle. They work with animals and crops. And so they see this work as dignified. So it's a great combination.
As far as the project for the display, that's coming up this fall?
Yes, we will have it on display at the McIntyre Library at UW-Eau Claire in October. And it's not 100% solidified, but I'm pretty sure the exhibition where we'll have some events is the 14th of October at 4 p.m.
How often do the workers go home?
It depends. And I think years ago, when there wasn't such a worry about the border, they would go home oftener. Now with all the worry at the border and all the political turmoil because of the border, they stay and don't go home. And that's unfortunate for them. It's unfortunate for everybody, actually. Typically, I used to say they'd be here for 3 years, and then they go home for a year, and then they come back, and it would be a continual process like that. But now it's probably 5, 6, 7 years, and then they'll go home.
For some of these workers, they've got young children back home that they don't see for years, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, sometimes, like John was saying, Roberto came up here when his daughter was 2 months old, and now she's 11.
Has he seen her?
On FaceTime every day.
Good thing there's technology, right?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, absolutely. And when we first started this, there wasn't that technology. There was really one phone back in the villages in Veracruz, Mexico, and it was called a caseta. And so if they were going to call home, they would set a certain time until they're when they're going to call again the next time. And they would call this number, and then a lady would answer, and then she'd announce over a loudspeaker that so-and-so has a phone call, and they would come to the phone, and they would talk for a number of hours. And it cost quite a bit of money, too, at that time. But now with cell phones, we've been in villages and stuff, very remote villages, with people that probably have never been out of the village, and they're holding a smartphone. So that technology has changed things dramatically.
It's probably making it a lot easier for these families that are split far apart by the mileage.
Exactly. You can still have a connection, even though obviously it would be much better in person. You can feel that when you're apart for that many years, when you go back home, there's still that bond there.
Immigration law. Has anything really changed, or is it just the enforcement, John?
Yeah, what I tell people about immigration law has not changed, like for the last 30, 40 years. I've been to D.C. a number of times explaining the situation, as has many, many other people, and Congress hasn't done a thing, nothing at all. So what happens when Congress doesn't adjust to things because of political problems or whatever, industry adapts. And so that's what industry has adapted to, is working with immigrants, even though the law maybe prohibits that. And but we have to do what we do, is because we're farmers. And now what's happening is people are crazy about enforcing some laws that are very, very old. And it's like the buggy whip law might still be on the thing, where you have to carry a buggy whip or something like that, and hasn't been changed. Well, people adapt to it, and we've adapted to it. And so the problem right now is enforcement. And if the government understands that they haven't done a damn thing, what is industry supposed to do? Then all of a sudden figure that they got to enforce it. It would kill the industry, the dairy industry anyway, if all the immigrants would go home.
Does H-2A need a repair job?
Yeah, H-2A, dairy is specifically prohibited from using H-2A. So it's not an option for us dairy farms. And H-2A is for vegetable growers or anybody with a 10-month business. And dairy is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And there's no way of getting around it. And people have tried, and it doesn't work.
Is there a different program that you've been able to utilize?
No.
So it's just a matter of get who you can and hopefully you can hang on to them.
Yes. What we're required to do as an employer is we're supposed to get the green card and a Social Security number and fill out an I-9 form and another form, the IRS form. And within 3 days of employment. So that's what we do. And it says on the instructions from the Homeland Security that if a reasonable person looks at the documents and they appear to be genuine to a reasonable person, you accept them. So that's what we do. If you don't accept them and you're wrong, and then you can be accused of discrimination by another part of the Department of Justice. And that fine is like $25,000. Our attorney that I've talked to says, if you look at them and they look reasonable, accept them.
There's really no clear path, and Congress really needs to give you one. Isn't that true?
Yes. They have a lot of work to do, and they have to do it even if it's politically unpopular. And I know that's not going to happen, so we have to continue to do what we're doing.
Is there anything either of you'd like to add today? Mercedes?
Basically, just that it would be lovely if most people get a chance to get to know all these wonderful human beings that are working on dairy farms and see how much they are doing for not only our economy, but for our communities. They bring this really strong work ethic and family values, and they make us better. And the more we can get to know them, the more that maybe Congress could take some action.
John?
One example is Roberto is my golfing partner, and we play in league Mondays and Thursday nights. And when we go to the golf at nights on Thursdays and Mondays, we drive together. And when he gets out of the truck, people are walking by carrying their bags to the carts and stuff. And they're all saying, hi, Roberto, hi, Roberto. But hardly any of them say, hi, John. So he's gotten to a point where they love him. And we won the league last year on Thursday night. And at the awards night in last August, they presented us with the first place thing. And they all chanted, speech, 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 for Roberto to give a speech. But he's too shy and he didn't do it. So, but they've really adapted to getting to know an immigrant.
John Rosenau, Mercedes Falk, thanks for being with us today on Brownfield.
Thank you.